All right, last Bible study was the same as scripture, and I'm going to read it first from the King James Version of the Bible, verses 4 to 6, and then we go through the paper, and I will tell you what I understood about this, and see if you have any question, please ask me. If I don't know, I tell you. But it's so peaceful. I'm so strong tonight because of the understanding of the scripture. You know, when you understand the scripture, it just makes you solid on it. And I have a wrong perspective, I have to confess to you before, about the end of time. And this one clarified much. And the material the ladies are studying brought certain light in how to put things in perspective. I don't understand all the details that this lady teaches because I disagree on Israel reigning and things like that. But I really understand how the process of the end is. And now I'm happy. All right? So you listen, you read it, you listen to everything and go back to the scripture, and then you have light. Okay? I read. Revelation 20. Verse 4, and I saw thrones and sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years again. All right, I go through the paper with you and see what light we have. The interpretation, I said, of Revelation 20 that I am offering you today is called the natural exegesis, not what is called in every book a critical interpretation of the scripture. A critical interpretation of the scripture is to say this Bible said this here, but here say this, and it's trying to bring all kinds of contradictory prophecies so that they can bring their argument. This natural exegesis means whatever God said here is what we're going to believe. All right? Now, verse 4. First, there is a resurrection of the believer. And I'm going to read it again slowly. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom judgment was committed. Also I saw the soul of those who had been beheaded for the testimony to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had no worship the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is from the Revised Standard Version. Now, this distinct group is all the saints of God. Now, some commentators said these are only the people on the tribulations. But I want to listen to what I said. This distinct group is all the saints of God who are now raised up and share Christ's reign. The promise that the saints will share Christ's rule and judgment is one that occurs often in the scripture. And I'm going to give you two promises, one in the Old Testament, which is copied here, and one in the Old Testament, so that you see that the promise was not just for those on the great tribulation. Daniel 7:9. As I look, thrones were placed, and one that was Ancient of Days took his seat, that's God. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning with fire. Verse 22 now on the same chapter. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints received the kingdom. In other words, saints is plural, is not talking about Israel only, it's talking about those who believe. If you think in 2 Timothy, in chapter 2 and in verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. You see that? Reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So also, there is a second group mentioned, which consists of those mentioned in verse 4b, the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their forehead or their hand. In this group are those who have survived the persecution of the tribulation and are living when Christ returns. So here you have a group of those believers who die in Christ, and then you have the group of those who are alive at the moment of the tribulation. Finally, the verse tells us that these two groups come to life and reign with Christ 1,000 years. In other words, these two groups include both the resurrection of the dead, saints, and the rapture of the living, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. So the event that the Bible is talking about is the event of the rapture. But at the moment of the rapture, there are people who are Christians living, who are suffering because of the tribulation. And God makes the two groups together, and verse 4 is talking about them. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, we read, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. These are the people that are going to be first resurrected. Then, verse 17, we who are alive, that means the people on the tribulation, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. So here is the dead in Christ already there, and then during the tribulation period, there will be believers on it. And so at the moment of this resurrection, this first resurrection, the dead in Christ through the centuries of the world will come up, Old Testament saints too, and then those who are alive, who are from the tribulation, will come up, and all will be completed. So now I have a clear picture in my mind of the first resurrection, and I'm going to ask you to participate now. On the first resurrection, there will be all the believers who die and those who were alive at the moment of his coming. Is that clear, or do you have any question about this before I go to the second one? If that sounds okay? If that sounds clear? In other words, people die from Abel, the first one, Abel, a believer who offered a sacrifice to God, until the last one of the Old Testament, all right? And then we come into the picture. And when the great tribulation comes, there will be people who were beheaded and so on. They're all part of the dead people. But there will be people alive who stand, and verse 4 tell us, it said, and who had not worshipped the beast, said verse 4. These are people who stood on their rights. And when the Lord comes, all the Old Testament and New Testament saints who are dead will come up first, and then those people who are alive will come up. And God called that the first resurrection. All right? If that's clear to you, I'll go to verse 5. See, I want to be clear in my mind. Even if we disagree, there is one thing glorious. If we're going to be with Christ in a marvelous way. Verse 5. Second, the first resurrection is for believers only. Now, that's something that we need to understand. The rest of the dead, said verse 5, did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Boy, that is clear. There will be a resurrection of Old Testament and New Testament believers. There will be a resurrection of the believers at the time of Christ. And this is called the first resurrection. And look at what the scripture says. The rest of the dead. Who are the rest of the dead? The unbelievers. Non-believers. Correct. The unbelievers. The unbelievers did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. Now, think in this moment. At the moment of the rapture of Christ, where this takes place, first resurrection, there will be believers from the Old Testament, New Testament, dead up, and there will be believers up. But then there will be a bunch of a majority of unbelievers dead. They will not be resurrected. Now, the Reformed view of the Scriptures and the Catholic view of the Scripture is that they will be resurrected together. That's what I thought myself. Without being looking in detail and taking the hairs apart from the text. And what the text, verse 5 says, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years. Now, so we have here Israel, the church, the first resurrection, and then we have a 1,000-year period. During the 1,000-year period, those who are dead, unbelievers, are still dead, waiting for the judgment. So there is a spiritual first resurrection and a physical first resurrection. See, I was taught in seminary who is this, a spirit, the first resurrection is only a spiritual only, but they were wrong. Look at what this, Ephesians 2:1 said, and you he made alive when you were dead through trespasses and sin. Now, that's talking about when you and I were unbelievers, all right? And so God called your coming to Christ a resurrection, a spiritual resurrection, all right? Now, notice what John saw so far. He saw people sitting upon the thrones with the authorities to judge. That's verse 4, remember, that we read. Then he saw the martyrs of the tribulation. That's also in verse 4. And he saw these living again, that is, they were resurrected in the first resurrection, according to verse 4. He saw the unbelievers would not live again until after 1,000 years were finished, according to verse 5. And so if you compare that to Revelation 20 and verse 13, you find this. And the sea gave up the dead in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead in them, and all were judged by what they have done. At the beginning, I used to believe that this and the rapture was the same. This is what is called the hard Calvinist view of end of time. Our seminary was a hyper-Calvinist seminary at that time. So there is only one resurrection. But the scripture here says, no. The scripture says that here are the saints of the Old Testament. Here are the saints of the New Testament. They are going to be resurrected. And here are the believers in the New Testament when Jesus comes. They're going to be resurrected in a way. Then it's 1,000 years. Then after the 1,000 years come Revelation 20. In verse 13, which is the final judgment. Now, let's look on verse 6. Third, the saints will reign on earth with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who shares in the first resurrection. Now, again, the first resurrection is believers of the Old Testament, believers of the New Testament, people who are alive in the New Testament at that moment. And verse 6 said, blessed and holy is he who shared in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. So that means if you and I are on the first resurrection, that's it, we're in. All right? There is no way that you can die again. And I'm going to teach that on Revelation 21. That one I got it very, very clear. But now this one, I really like it. All right, and there is a graphic on the women's material of Bible study who is very clear. They have two graphics. I don't care about the second graphic she believes. I care with the exegetical graphic, which is perfect. And you always never be afraid to read this and to read the other and read the other, then go back to the scripture, and then the Lord will open your mind. All right, there is no one who have everything, knows everything, and tells everything. And when you're wrong, you're wrong, and then you get peace in your heart when you get right. Okay, so here is what it is. Verse 6 is saying that we are blessed if we are part of that resurrection. Why? Because I will never die again. And that's what Revelation 21 says. Well, let's read it, you know. It's okay. Get a little ahead. Revelation 21. I start reading from verse 1 and you will see what the Bible says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, verse 4, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. See that? And shall be no more death. So therefore, what I'm trying to teach to you is this, the blessedness of the first resurrection. Believers of the Old Testament, believers in the New Testament, people who are alive in the New Testament, they are resurrected. They have no any more worries. All right. Now, I'm going to show you in the paper a few scriptures that help me to understand these better. Daniel 7, verse 13 and verse 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with a cloud, all heaven of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came of the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Verse 14, and to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom. That's the scripture. All peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. Now, just talking about the kingdom of God now being established. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 and verse 21, you have a clarification of that statement. The Apostle Paul, Peter is preaching, and he said, repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. In other words, it is telling them there is a time of refreshing for the Christian. Well, you turn the television, you turn the radio station, and you hear all of these parades endorsing the evil of this world. And you say, when this is going to come to an end? Well, there is a time, I like the way the King James put it, there is a time of refreshing coming in. Now, look at in Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Boy, when I saw those words, I said, that's it. God is going to do restitution of all things. The mess that mankind has made, God is going to renew it. God is going to wipe away the mess, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophet since the world began. In other words, the promise to the church is we are not involved in government to change the Reformation. We are involved in that government of God who will change everything and will rule everything. In Psalm 67:4, the Bible says, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon where? Wow, that changed the panorama. Somebody told me in seminary, Jesus will not come to this earth. All right. And then you study books and books, and there are hundreds and hundreds of books of the 1600s and 1700s who believe that's called the Reformation doctrine. And I was sad, but I said, well, that's what they said. But that is not, that's not what the scripture said. I listened to Prime Minister Netanyahu today, and I cried because I'm glad that I have studied this. And Netanyahu said to the University of Georgia, Jewish people, said, we need you in Jerusalem because one day, finally, the King of Kings, as God, will come and rule from Jerusalem. Unknown to him is Jesus. But he was saying right words, and I was, and he said, from Gaza they will come. And when somebody in government today mentioned the names of the Bible cities, and from the Negev, which the Bible is called the Queen of Sheba, and from the Philistine area, which that's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2. From every corner they will come. But they are thinking in the control. And he was mentioning all the rich people in America are Jewish people and control the world. And any moment we can pull the money out and control the entire world. So be careful. He was saying to our government that we can control and destroy America. We have the power to do so by money. And I thought, well, one section is just political. The other is like a prophecy saying God is raising up the standard that he will be in control of the world. Not Israel, but he, all right? Now, let me, I was so happy. Now I understand one section of the, one section, one little tiny section I understand. I'm so happy. I will not be part of the second resurrection, of the second death. And I will be part with Moses and the others, and I can show all the scriptures when I'm going to look to Moses, and I will know who Moses is because I will have the mind of God. You will look to your family who are believers, and you will look to them and know. Listen, remember, the believers will be in their resurrected bodies and people on earth in their earthly bodies. That's another thing I learned. I said, well, my wife said, my wife told me, I have a question for you, and the question is, what you taught last Sunday, where are we going to be? And I have not dealt with that question. So I told my wife, I'm very intelligent. I will find out. All right. I don't know the answer. Pardon me? And here's what it is. The believers will be in the first resurrection bodies and the people on earth on the earthly body. They will apparently be mingling among the two. And before you say no, listen to what I have to say. What we must keep in mind is this. Heaven and eternity are not like what most people think. A spirit floating around on a cloud, playing a harp, or else a spirit that appears as a ghost or gas-like substance. We will have bodies in heaven and eternity. In fact, we will have our present bodies with one difference. They will be perfected. This is the very purpose of the first resurrection, to rise up the very elements and particles of our bodies, to perfect them, to live eternally in the perfect environment of heaven and earth. Therefore, during the 1,000 years period, and Greg and I talk about privately, well, he said, you have no address. The 1,000 years, and I said, I know, because I was not sure. So when I'm not sure, I will never teach you. So now I'm sure, all right? During the 1,000 years period, it will be just like it when, it will be just like it was when Christ fellowshiped with the disciples after his resurrection. Remember? Christ had a resurrected body, and the disciple has a natural body. And they all looked alike. And there was no difference because they don't say, oh, Christ did not have a glow in the head. He was resurrected. So much that Thomas said, my God and my Savior. All right? Now, he was in his resurrected body and the disciples were in their earthly bodies. During the millennium, it will be a common thing for the resurrected Lord and resurrected believers to fellowship with people in their earthly bodies. All will have bodies, some earthly bodies and others heavenly, that is perfected bodies. Remember, the 1,000 years period will be a new age for the earth. Life upon the earth will be entirely different from what is now, as has been seen in the study above. When Jesus Christ returned to earth, his presence and power will change everything. So here's what I understood from verses 4 to 6. There will be a first resurrection, believers of the Old Testament, believers in the New Testament, and then who were dead, then believers who are alive at the moment of the tribulation. They're all going to be resurrected. There will be 1,000 years. There were two kinds of bodies on earth, one who are perfected and the others who are just the bodies of the unbelievers who are still there, and there will be 1,000 years before the great judgment. Happened during the time of the first century as Jesus shared his body with them. And I tell you something else. Lazarus was resurrected. Remember? And in chapter 12, Lazarus is eating with the people, and they want to kill him, and they can, because of the power of his body. As I read the scripture in John 12, he knew what those people were going to do. Amazing. That came to my mind, that there were people already in that stage. So the next is telling us about those 1,000 years and then the coming of Christ, which we will analyze on the next study. But the beautiful part is that if you are a Christian and you are on that resurrection, then you don't have to worry any longer about your life. You made it. Okay.